This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTI program focused on the horror and sci-fi community.
You engage with that world in a huge way. So, you know, I always tell creators who are building series, I always tell them to be thinking about the community of their series first and foremost, before the story, before the content itself, because that's ultimately going to be how that creator is going to be able to make more.
Today, Irish biotech startup H-Plus Nano.
A new breakthrough in implantation technology might just pave the way.
Computers in the brain? Sound like science fiction? Well, not according to H-Plus Nano. The company has just released a medical implant that they say
was more than just a merging of man and machine. This implant gives patients a windows view into their own bodies.
H-Plus is giving consumers exactly what they want, and Mortal Systems has the most reliable network infrastructure.
The problem is, we have antitrust laws.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm serious.
Okay. Do you see this one day replacing doctors?
If you look at our African Youth Initiative, for example, we're doing exactly that.
Well, I have just one antitrust law. I don't trust anyone who wants to stick a computer in my head, especially if they're Irish.
In other news, world tech stocks fell yet again amid...
Protesters are part of a larger anti-technology movement inflamed by the recent deaths of four human test subjects.
These scientists need to understand that we are people, we are not their toys.
Hundreds of millions of people worldwide stood in long lines today to be the first to try out...
A computer in your head.
H-Plus Nano's long-awaited successor to the N54 medical implant has finally hit the shelves. And
it may look like a hallucination, but that floating interface has everything you need, from chat to video.
What if I wanted to listen to some music?
For all you grown-ups out there considering an implant,
just swipe over to the music icon.
Consider this.
Four data centers were breached this weekend.
Its creator, A.
Compromising the personal information.
Does not support it anymore. B. Has been missing for weeks.
H-Plus, the world is in you. You're always online. You're always connected.
Welcome you to Joy 94.9. John?
Yeah, John Cabrera.
So, first time in Australia?
First time in Australia.
Wow. Okay, yeah. And Melbourne Webfest.
Yes, first time in Melbourne. First time in Australia.
Great. So for the Australia International Web Series Festival, I think most people call it Webfest, but it's your first time invited to something like this. What's brought that about?
Well, I was asked to come, and I'm, you know, web series is an area of the entertainment industry that I've been working in for a while, for quite some time. I wrote and produced a series back in 2012, premiered in 2012, called H+ for Warner Brothers' digital arm. You know, since then, I've been, you know, just a huge advocate for the format and trying to help the format evolve more, especially on the independent side.
Yeah, it's great. You see a lot of promising shows, and certainly the evolution of it in such a short span of time, probably, what, 6 or 7 years?
I mean, I found that just in the past 2 years, the growth has been massive. When we premiered H+, there was really there were very few projects that resembled it in its scope and its kind of production values. And it was created by a studio, so or at a studio, so it wasn't surprising that the series looked like that. And now series are being made for a fraction of the price that we made H+ for in just the last, you know, 2-3 years, that look as beautiful and better, I think. So the format is evolving, it's growing, it's maturing so fast, and the stories are getting better, the storytelling. I think that the web is sort of, it's taking its cues from a lot of what's happening in traditional media and television. Obviously, we're in this huge boom, content boom in traditional media and television specifically, and the stories there are getting better. They're rivaling anything that you can see in the theaters, and it's just natural that in the independent side of that, which the independent side of series is going to, of course, be web series, digital series, because that's where creators wanting to create and distribute content at a much lower cost, that's where they're going to go, because now we have all of these streaming platforms, not even the big ones like Netflix and Amazon, but littler SVOD platforms that are popping up all over the world, allowing creators to do essentially for series what filmmakers in the 90s were doing with independent film distribution and whatnot.
That's very exciting. I think it's a great, exciting time. It's almost like a wave, and it seems to match what's happening with social media and the technologies there too. Do you see that as a force that is inclusive, I mean, with what's happening with web series?
No question about it. I think that a big part of the series, so, you know, the thing that differentiates a series and a film really is the way that a series is able to sort of draw communities of people, right, around something. We've been seeing that since the beginning of series, soap operas,
in particular. Game of Thrones is a great, you know, super soap opera.
Yeah, and it's not much different than nighttime soap opera like Dallas from the 80s. You know, these shows that really bring together massive communities of people to engage them. So if you compare that to the independent side of that, which is web series, which also relies on communities to form around these independent projects that are ongoing stories, it's only natural that social media would play a huge part in their growth and just the creation of many of these projects. A lot of them, I'm thinking of one project. The project really began in social media. The Guild is a project that is a really great example of one that really leveraged social media and a community in a really amazing way. Lizzie Bennet Diaries, thank you. That's the one that I couldn't remember. So Lizzie Bennet Diaries was a web series, but it was also really a social experience. So like all of the characters lived in different social media pages and YouTube channels and Twitter accounts and what. So it's really cool because it's also allowing creators to tell stories and build communities using more than just the motion picture medium.
True, true. Thinking of that same question, do you see that changing as far as, do you think, in a way it might lose that independent flavor as it evolves to become such a bigger format? Platform. And also, I guess the other question is, how do people make an existence to survive off what they do financially? Do you have any sort of key experiences?
Well, it's funny because those two questions are linked, right?
Yeah.
It's like as soon as you answer question two, then of course question one, it leads to what, right? Because as soon as we start to figure out how to make really good money doing independent works, then we become Quentin Tarantino, who went from, you know, being an independent filmmaker to being like one of the biggest filmmakers in the world. So it's the same thing. The answer to the second question is really, I mean, it's the same as it has always been. It's the same as it was for independent film. And it really lies
not in the content itself, but in these communities that are converging around the content, the filmmaker. Because the truth is that the content itself is not really that valuable from a sort of financial perspective. I mean, yes, there are people that are willing to purchase licensed pieces of content, but that the value of it as content really is not, it doesn't really have that great of value. What's valuable is the community that converges around the content. So as the creators, as these creators find the community around their content, they will be able to monetize not the content, they'll be able to monetize the community. A really good example, I think, is, I mean, it's a huge example, but Harry Potter, right? The Harry Potter community is massive, right? And when we think about how Harry Potter is monetized, we think about the movies, because that was the sort of entry for the community. But the truth is that Harry Potter is being monetized in ways that are way bigger than those films. I just went to the Harry Potter theme park, and they were selling wands, you know, plastic wands for like, I don't know, like $70 or something like that, you know, and it was huge. And if you are a part of the community, you engage with that world in a huge way. So, you know, I always tell creators who are building series, I always tell them to be thinking about the community of their series first and foremost, before the story, before the content itself, because that's ultimately going to be how that creator is going to be able to make make more of the series and make a living enough to continue creating the series. And if they're lucky, they may become, you know, a huge star of this medium as it starts to grow, and then their community is as big as the communities that converge around major filmmakers who at one time were small independent filmmakers back in the 90s.
Yeah, I think it's just, yes, follows through a tradition that's always been there. I mean, hence I've walked in here and we immediately connected because I'm carrying a Star Wars bag.
Yeah, Star Wars bag, yeah.
That started small, independent, THX 1138, yeah. George Lucas, independent filmmaker. Star Wars came along, and everyone thought it was going to be actually a TV series when they were filming it
in
Elstree, in Britain. They didn't realize it was going to be a big hit. Is it always a surprise when you come across something on the web series, format, something?
Something that...
Yeah, is there always like these surprise ones that you just think, wow, I didn't know that would ever become so popular or gather those communities, or is it just...
Well,
luck.
Well, it's certainly not luck. It's certainly not luck. No. I don't believe that. You know, I think that communities gravitate to things that mean something to them. You know, like I said, the Guild is a really great example of a series that spoke to a community in a very, very personal way, and that community grew very, very fast and very large. Mm. And so I don't think that there was anything about it that was luck. I mean, perhaps you could say that, like, she was creating content at a really great time. But no, I think that the story that she was telling resonated with a large community of people, a lot of people who came together to explore the series together, the way that communities do. I mean, the way that. I mean, not just in storytelling and in the television or web series or film format, but just in every way, communities typically come together in order to explore ideas together. Mm. We've been doing it since the beginning of human history and before human history.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's a passionate nerd geek thing.
Yeah,
as well
as a human thing. Yeah,
bringing those together. Now, I have been asked by friends to ask the question, the Gilmore Girls question.
Okay.
Which is, Gilmore Girls, what was it like to be part of something so extraordinary?
That was amazing.
And successful, you know, like, really great.
Yeah, that's a really good example, I think, of a show that also still does have a massive community of people. And there's nothing that was lucky about it. That story, those characters, that world. I mean, Stars Hollow is a little world. I often talk about how, for me, content, like the like what draws me to a piece of content, to a story, is the world itself. And if I can imagine a map, like an actual overhead map of the world, then I know that it's a piece of content that I'm going to be drawn to. And Stars Hollow really is like that. I mean, it has a similarity. I know it's crazy, but it has similarity to Game of Thrones in that way. Yeah, yeah. Stars Hollow has its nooks and crannies and its stories.
Great intro, like with Game of Thrones, like a Stars Hollow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, like CGI or something.
Yeah. So that, you know, is a good example of a story, a show, a piece of content that gave audiences, through a variety of different elements, the characters, the landscape of the environment, a really wonderful playground to explore together as a community. And of course they did. There's nothing lucky about that. So it's a very special, I think, a very special show. And for me, it was an incredible chapter of my life, you know, just from a community standpoint. Yeah. The community of the creators and the actors that formed on that show, you know, not just the actors, the crew that, you know, I mean, it was really an incredible experience. And I just recently got to experience it again because the revival series that's going to be on Netflix had us all, you know, after 10 years coming
back
together. Yeah, we all came back and did it again. And not just the actors, but like a huge portion of the crew was the same group of people that
it
I remember.
It must have been quite eerie, like quite cool. Deja vu, but everyone's a little bit older and wiser or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice. It was very nice.
I spoke to Jamie Babbitt. I know she did some of the work too.
Yeah.
Directing of some
She directed... I think she directed one or two episodes that I was in early in the show.
Great. So I guess we'll get back to finally. I'm probably taking up a lot of time. Sorry about that. But what will you be doing this weekend? What sort of things will you be talking about and folk here in Melbourne?
The
web series festival.
Well, I will be watching some web series. Mm-hmm. I've actually seen all of the series that are in official selection, but I'd like to see them with people. So yeah. I saw them alone. I want to sort of engage this community that's forming around series, web series, independent series here in Melbourne, and just be a part of as many of the events as I can. I'm going to be leading a workshop on pitching projects in general. It's probably going to, you know, be skewed more towards pitching for the web, since that's mostly where my head has been lately. And I'm going to be delivering a speech on Friday that is going to be surprise. It's going to be a lot about community and my sort of ideas about community as it relates to content.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, for our community, I'm from an LGBTIQA radio station. It would be great if there was something similar. I know there's a couple of web series based in Sydney, but at the moment I don't think we have anything in Melbourne. So it would be great to build around that, and hopefully we can learn something, how to do that and get that engagement going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Mm, cool.
Well, perhaps you'll come to some of the stuff that I'm doing. And
well, hopefully a lot of people will. at the microphone, but yeah. So get along. It starts the 1st July. It's almost here, and it's only 3 days.
It's only 3 days.
Longer. We need a week, at least. There's no other web festival in Australia, I believe. No. This is it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think so.
This is it. It's great. Thank you so much, John, for speaking to us.
It was a pleasure.
It's fantastic. And good luck with your time here in Melbourne. Hope you get some of the sunshine while it's turned on.
I know what I'm going to be doing right after this. I'm going to be getting another cup of coffee because your coffee here is incredible.
It? Yeah? People do say that.
It is incredible. Really.
I believe it's down to one Italian barista that came over here in the 60s or something, and he taught somebody and they taught somebody. And
oh, really?
Yep.
Thank you.
I just want to throw in, I have a Bellatrix Lestrange wand.
Oh,
what?
Really?
Bellatrix Lestrange wand.
Oh, yeah.
My boyfriend was in LA last year for the Back to the Future anniversary event. And
I'm not judging. I'm not judging. I love it. I think it's amazing. You know, it just shows, like I said, it just shows how powerful a world, not so much a story, a world, how it can, that can really engage communities on a level that they just transcend monetizing the content itself. It becomes
it's like an extension of the character. You can see, it's like I can see Bellatrix.
I'm very excited about
you're feel a Harry Potter
moving to evolving as well, you know. I would just faint if I met JK. She's cool, isn't she? Cool. She should be Queen of England.
Have you read the book about the marketing around Harry Potter?
No.
It talks about
why
it was such a success because she held on to it. It talks about the branding and the extension of the company. Like, it's not just about, you don't see it on every corner because she holds on to the rights so strongly.
Yeah.
It's a good book, though.
You're talking about
the Harry Potter, the success of Harry Potter. It's a book about the marketing around it, and it's all about how it's grounded in a passion of hers. And so she held on to it closely, and it kept the integrity of the story, which made it such a success because the people that she got on, she made sure that they were connected to the story.
They were the community, probably,
exactly.
Right? People,
so it's all about
absolutely.
The community around it. And so that's
they probably read all the books, you know, and knew the characters.
They cared more about the story and the characters than they did about selling things, which
that's
why
cool.
It's such a success at selling things.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it's honest. It feels the world
genuine.
Feels real. It feels big and you know, it feels like the actual world that we live in, just with magic and wizards and all that kind of stuff. The more that's sort of what I mean when I say, like, you know, if you can map it out, if you can actually create a map for it, like, it's probably got something going for it. Is the wand that you have, does it have the little thing at the end, the little white tip at the end?
No, it's just carved wood. It's
done. Okay, because they sell those wands at, I mean, it's crazy. The experience is just absolutely bizarre. First of all, the Harry Potter world is amazing. Like, what they did. Do you like Harry Potter? I was like, because we just talked, she's not watching Game of Thrones, and I was like, first of all, the world is amazing. Like the detail of it is incredible, and the wand shop, right? The shop where you like where you get teamed up with, where you get basically like your wand that's like especially your.
How do they find
wand.
Out that? Do they put the what's it called?
Just John Hurt's there.
So there's so first of all, just to get into the store, you have to wait in a line that's similar to a line for a ride, right? Like, it's got like the, like, you know, so you wait in line just to get into the store. Before you get into the store, you go pass through this area with an actor who does like a sort of like take somebody from the audience and then teams them up with their wand, like finds their wand that's especially special for them. And then after that little thing, the door opens and you like walk into like walls like of wand boxes.
Oh, just like the...
Yeah,
wand
boxes everywhere. It's really only
that.
Like 20 wands. It's really only 20 wands, but like, they've got like, it's so many multicolors that it just looks like it's a million wands, you know, there. And they each have a little radio receiver in them and a little like a little tip at the end, right? So so you go in and you look around, you're open you're pulling boxes out, and of course other boxes are falling. I mean, it really looks like a cluttered mess of boxes, just like in the world. And you pull it out and you look at the one and you pick the one that you want, and you spend like, I don't know, I said $70, it might have been $50, it might have been $100, I don't remember, it was expensive. And then you walk out and you realize that the Harry Potter world that they've created has all of this interactive stuff in it. And if you use your wand, it creates a radio signal with the thing, and it like all these shops, you walk past all these shops that look like they're closed, you know, and you look through the window and you go like that, and like inside, like dishes lift up in the air and then go down and whatnot. So you interact.
But is every wand slightly different? So some might activate some things, another person.
I think that they all activate everything.
Different experience.
Yeah.
They all activate everything. That's my guess. That would be cool.
They could have fun, you know.
Yeah.
Playing with that.
But yeah, so like you walk around. I didn't realize at first, but you walk around and you just see like little families like standing in front of a door, and they're like.
Oh, imagine a kid
I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it.
That would be so, like, you know, a 5-year-old doing that would be
wonderful.
That would be it for the rest. Scarred into your brain forever. In a good way.
It would be.
I'm sorry. Distracted there.
We got all of that Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah, the wands. I got the wands.
You've been listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Check out joy.org.au/sci-fi-and-scream for more.
I've missed Sci-Fi and Scream. What am I going to do?
Don't worry. You can catch Sci-Fi and Scream on our podcast every week. Just look us up on the Joy site, joy.org.au/Sci-Fi and Scream.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.